for the word of the Lord in Acts chapter 9, verse 1 and following. Meanwhile, Saul was still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, and he went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus, so that if he found any who belonged to the way, men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. Now, as he was going along and approaching Damascus, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" He asked, "Who are you, Lord?" The reply came, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But get up and enter the city, and you will be told what you are to do." The men who were traveling with him stood speechless because they heard the voice but saw no one. Saul got up from the ground, and though his eyes were open, he could see nothing. So they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. For 3 days he was without sight and neither ate nor drank. Now there was a disciple in Damascus named Ananias. The Lord said to him in a vision, "Ananias." He answered, "Here I am, Lord." The Lord said to him, "Get up and go to the street called Straight, and at the house of Judas, look for a man of Tarsus named Saul. At this moment, he is praying, and he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias come in and lay his hands on him so that he might regain his sight." But Ananias answered, "Lord, I have heard many things about this man, how much evil he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priest to bind all who invoke your name." But the Lord said to him, "Go, for he is an instrument whom I have chosen to bring my name before Gentiles and kings and before the people of Israel. I myself will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name." So Ananias went and entered the house. He laid his hands on Saul and said, "Brother Saul, Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on your way, has sent me that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit." And immediately something like scales fell from his eyes, and his sight was restored. Then he got up and was baptized. And after taking some food, he regained his strength. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. I saw the reflections of one of our regular worshipers, John Harrell, this week, where he shared an experience that he had making a simple stop at a convenience store to fill up with gas. He said, "I entered the store and just ahead of me was another customer. And to be honest, the attendant was less than receptive and, to be quite frank, a little rude to the customer." After the customer left, John said, "I approached the counter and I met her with a smile. And I said, 'How's your day going?'" And he said, she paused and her voice cracked a moment. And she said, "5 minutes. I need 5 minutes. John, unsure what this was leading to, listened for the rest of the story. And the young lady said, "I just received a call from the NYPD in New York that my sister was killed. I've tried phoning my boss. There's no one to come and take my place here, and I need 5 minutes to cry." Oh my. In this world of devastation, in this world of rudeness, frustration, and anger that we face as sojourners, so often it's tempting for us to be quick to judge, to cast off, to respond in a like fashion to those who simply may be broken children of God. in our scripture today. We hear the story, and more than a story, the conversion of one who was a tyrant to our church. One who was much more than simply rude to a customer in a convenience store. The scriptures tell us that Saul had persecuted, had condemned the church, had applauded the murdering of many disciples. And then today we hear through the great grace of our Lord Jesus Christ that even this one was transformed as the very messenger to we, even today, through his written scripture. That's the power of transformation through our Lord Jesus Christ. And it's a witness to me. It's an instruction to me as I consider the story that John Harrell shared with us. And I remember the message of Paul that our role as people of faith is not to be quick to condemn and judge, but to know that we never know the full story. We don't know why Paul was such a tyrant. We know that he was passionate about his faith, and he was oftentimes angry. He was living as one who was, in his words, the Pharisee of a Pharisee. He lived by the rules, by the letter of the law. He felt that faith, even for us, was about what you do. Where are your works? Might be the question of Paul. And here in this witness, we see where Saul transformed from a man of works to a man of grace and life before God. Righteousness in the eyes of the one who made us. Justification to be called his children would forever be changed for Paul in this transformation when he saw that it's not what you do, but in whom you believe that makes all the difference. You know, I titled our sermon today, Lamont and Shirley couldn't be with us. They're going to a baptism for one of their grandchildren. And Lamont asked me, he said, what's the title of the sermon today? And I said, it's titled Saul to Paul to Saul. And that title reminds us and convicts me to remember that when Saul was converted to Paul, that didn't solve it for Paul forever. He still wrestled with the faith. He still got it wrong at times. He was still, in the great theological terms, a knucklehead every once in a while. He still got hard-headed. He still wanted it his way at times. But even then, friends and people of faith like Paul, who often get it wrong, we have hope through Jesus Christ. That's the message of our scripture, of Paul's conversion and our transformation through our Lord. You know, when I think of Paul's transformation, I remember the story of a young man that grew up in the sand hills of northwest Alabama, dirt poor. His father had left the family when he was just a child. He knew some abuse before his father left, and his father continued to come back every once in a while in drunken states and would abuse his mother. The young man had little education, but he had a way with story. He grew up in that culture, much as many of us have, that storyteller's culture, where you could intrigue people with what you had to tell and inspire them with your way of words. He would eventually put pen to paper and become quite accomplished at his high school newspaper. He never went to college, but he continued writing. He got a job at a local newspaper and eventually the Anniston Star and moved on up until ultimately he became a Pulitzer Prize-winning writer for the New York Times. His name Rick Bragg. Some of us are familiar with his stories and his writing. Rick Bragg tells the story of how his life was transformed simply by telling the story of an old beaten down dog that came to his mother's house once. He said the dog had what we call the mange. It was malnourished, had little hair. Bragg said his brother and his mother saw the dog and at once they named her Pretty Girl. Bragg said, I put my eyes on her and she was anything but a pretty girl. But he said, a few months later, I came back to visit my mom and I saw a different dog. I saw a dog there that was full of life, that had been nourished, that's hair had been restored. He said, is that the same dog? Is that Pretty Girl? She had indeed embraced her name. See, I'm convinced that if we as broken down people, if we those who feel like the beast, who feel malnourished, who feel overlooked, if we hear just often enough that we too are pretty, we are beautiful in the eyes of our Savior, we, just like that dog, may start to believe it. It happened, you know. It happened almost 2,000 years ago when Paul had previously been known as Saul the persecutor. And as Saul reflected on this transformation in the book of Acts, this isn't the only account. Saul, as he remembered being Paul, said this in chapter 22 of Acts about that exchange with Ananias. These are the words of Paul when he said, a certain Ananias, who was a devout man according to the law, well spoken in Jewish law and well respected, he came to me. And standing beside me, he said, Brother Saul, regain your sight. And in that very hour, I regained my sight. See, I'm intrigued, friends, at the first words Paul the sinner heard were not, why did you do it, Saul? The first words he heard were not, what are you going to do to make up for all your destruction, Saul? The first question placed upon him was not, how will you repay the church and all the people you've hurt? No, the first words Paul heard at his conversion were this. Brother, Paul, receive your sight. You see, Paul learned our faith is not so much about what we do or what we've done, but what's been done for us. Not because of who we are, but because of whose we are. Children of the Most High God. Amen.